This evaluation is aimed at assessing effective time efficiency and relevant current strategies towards achieving our objectives. The ultimate aim of undertaking this evolution is to show that we move towards improving our practices, our security transparency, and also to ensure that we, as an organization, we learn on how we improve on our process as well. The moving towards the last part of this presentation, we now focus on the highlights of the performance date by MISA. This is the highlights of the performance since MISA was established in 2012. And one of the areas of success that we approached to talk about is the support that we provided to both OR Tambo district municipalities and also African local municipalities that I've already alluded to. With OR Tambo, the support was necessitated by the fact that OR Tambo, being the recipient of the largest MIG allocation in the country, has been struggling to spend the allocations over a number of years. But through our support, we have enabled them to improve their situation quite dramatically. So their spending, we've seen their spending improving over a period of time. Mafeking as well had the same challenge of underspending in relation to MIG and other funding for infrastructure, and even here we have assisted them a lot in terms of getting them to improve their situation as well. We are focusing on supporting the 24 district municipalities that have been identified by cabinet as the priority district municipalities, and here the main focus is on improving the delivery of water and sanitation. Of course, you find that these 24 districts as well are located within those provinces that I have indicated as the ones that are more disadvantaged, like KZN, Senkeng, Limpopo, and so on. So we've been working with this for the past 2 to 3 years, of course, working in collaboration with the Department of Water and Sanitation to ensure that these district municipalities are able to deal with mainly their service protein backlogs, but also also to ensure that they address their maintenance backlogs as well. One of the program that we're also running quite successfully is the operation and maintenance in Mbembe district in Limpopo, where we are supporting them by ensuring that they have the water process control and artisans who are responsible for running their water treatment plants and wastewater treatment plants within the district. So what we are doing here, we have entered an agreement with this district, whereby we are funding the training and development of those artisans. I think at the moment the number is around 58. So these are the officials who work with the resources, but they still need to develop further. But while they're developing further, they are also assisting municipalities to run their own water and sanitation assets in the meantime. So it's benefit for the individuals themselves, but also it's benefit to the municipalities. The agreement is such that the municipality will have to take over and absorb the individuals into their own organization. I'm trying to emphasize on this, honorable members, because it's one of the approach that we want to follow in other district municipalities, particularly those that are water service providers. If we come to the conclusion that this is something that we need to continue with. So far, we are happy with how the program is running. We are also playing a role in assisting the PICC in some of the steps. And as part of that, we were requested to assist in supporting the Makana municipality, which has been experiencing the problem in terms of the service provision, the water and sanitation provision, service provision within the municipality. So this has happened quite recently, where we had to move in support of the TICC to get this municipality to improve the situation, because the situation there was becoming dire. Some of the honourable members might be aware, because this is something that came up in the press as well. But we can certainly say that at the moment the situation is stabilized, but it's more work that needs to be done to assist the municipalities to come to a level where the approaching of the services is sustainable. We also, under the capacity development program, we have trained 1 to 9 municipal officials under our training program. And we have also provided some short courses towards the in relation to infrastructure asset management as well. We also sent some of the municipal officials to Japan under the cooperation agreement that we have with Japan, whereby Japan is assisting us with training those officials in technical areas. So we have taken some of the officials there, and they went there and then underwent the training under this collaboration with Japan or the Japanese International Cooperation Agency. Under this, we have a total of 30 officials, both from NISA and also from the municipalities. We have a few from NISA that also joining this program because we realize the value in them going to undertake the training and coming to support municipalities as well. But of course, the main focus was ensuring that we get municipal officers themselves going through this program. But in total, we sent 30 officials there for the training. Still under capacity development program, we have successfully taken 4-year graduates through the training program since our establishment. And these 4-year graduates have since registered as professionals. And also under the adjunct program, we have since produced 210 adjuncts through our adjunct development program. And we've placed 103 experiential learners in municipalities. So some of these are still in municipalities, although others have since exited the program. And so far, we have assisted 50 students through our graduate program. Of course, this number seems to be low. And the reason why it's low is because we are driven by the budget that we have. The budget that we have is not that official, so we only cover 50. But of course, depending on how we end up dealing with this program, we can increase the number as we go forward. And this training has been mainly for students who are studying towards civil and electrical engineering, town planning, and also GIS. This slide provides the highlight of performance in relation to some of the special projects that we have implemented to date. The first one is where we supported Moses Kotane Municipality in the Northwest to ensure that the research 75 boreholes that were critical for the supply of water for their communities. As I also indicated, we supported Makon Makala to stabilize their situation in terms when it comes to the provision of water and sanitation in the area. Madive as well is one of those municipalities that have been experiencing a water crisis. We have come in Madive as well to support them. In the Eastern Cape, we have assisted the Bajan local municipalities towards the regraveling of 3 kilometer gravel roads. These roads was critical because it connected the communities with the areas where they have to access the basic services. So we assisted them to regravel that road. Of course, there's more that needs to be done to ensure that the connectivity for this community is complete as well. In Victor Kanya, we supported the bucket irrigation program. This one is still underway because it just started only recently. In Lavakulu, the local municipalities, we have completed so far completed the technical assessment exercise, and we were developing a plan towards assisting them to address the problem of sewer sludge in that area. Also, in Greater Lisaba in Limpopo, there's a project through which we're assisting municipalities to deal with the boreholes as well, so that we can resuscitate the supply of water in some of the villages in that area. This second last slide just gives a reflection of what kind of challenges we have experienced in undertaking our work as a leader. One of the challenges, of course, is that due to some challenges within the organization, within Procter, and mainly this is due to the fact that we have performed many changes at the political leadership level. We have not been able to fill the top management position, which include the position of the CEO, the position of the DDG. We have not been able to fill those to date because of the challenges. But of course, we have presented this to the minister because we felt that he only came in May. We have presented this situation to him, and we got an idea from the minister that this process will be addressed shortly. So we, of course, the minister is reviewing many other things within the department. So we await his guidance in that regard. We also realized as we started the operation that the structure that was approved and given to us by the Department of Public Service and Administration was not necessarily fully aligned with the manner in which we wanted to operate. A cluster example is the fact that it doesn't provide for the provincialization of the support program. What we mean by provincialization is that our intention is to ensure that we have got project management happening at the provincial level instead of happening at an international level, because there the distance between us and the municipalities being about becomes just too much. So we feel that there might be a need going forward to realign, to review and maybe make some changes on that structure so that we have to achieve that alignment. The other frustration that we really encounter on an ongoing basis is the fact that it becomes difficult for municipalities to absorb the skilled technical professionals that we end up producing through our capacity development program. And we are engaging the province, the municipalities themselves, and Procter as well, to look at ways in which we get municipalities to prepare themselves and to be able to absorb these professionals. Because it becomes a bit self-defeating if we end up producing this technical professionals and they end up not going to the municipalities, rather going to work in the private sector. The ultimate aim, as far as our concern, is that we need to get these skilled people to be absorbed by municipalities. But as I said, we are engaging several players to ensure that we tighten the either the regulation or we get municipalities to prepare themselves appropriately for the ultimate adoption of this individual. Of course, another area is the issue of IGR or the intergovernmental relations structures that we need. In some provinces, we found that they do have a very functional IGR structure that we can engage municipalities through, because this engagement becomes necessary when you realize that some of the municipalities are supporting are not moving at a pace that will lead them to move at. So you will need some intervention at a provincial level. That's why this has become necessary. In provinces like Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, we do realize that they do have some functional IGR structures, but there are some provinces where this needs to be strengthened. The issue of governance, I think this is the biggest problem, because where governance is a problem, whatever else you do becomes, it's undermined by those governance challenges. A very good example, or a very a prime example, would be the issue where you find that through political fighting, you don't get the critical positions filled within a municipality. So, which means that whatever support you are giving there, it's not made by the officials to absorb the skill transfer that goes with the support. So, you realize that over a period of time, you will have progress about, but you will come back to the same position that you were when you started, because you were not helping the people. One of the areas, the area of spending on critical budget, on allocations like big services, where you find that the supply chain management process gets frustrated. by guaranteeing stability in his family. So while you might get misunderstood that we are well positioned supporting municipalities to speed up the process of supply chain so that they can spend their allocations on time, but you still then get your efforts then get hampered by the fact that they are governance challenges. So with regard to governance, as part of the best basics, I think the effort is being placed on the fact that we need to find a way in which all these other governance problems, particularly where the political nature, they are elevated to the relevant structures that they can be dealt with strictly. In concluding the presentation, I think it's crucial for us to mention that whatever we're doing at NISA now is being integrated. We start necessarily changing the focus area, and maybe expanding, most probably expanding on our coverage. Whatever we're doing is being integrated and aligned with the business approach that is being rolled by the military. We don't see a situation where what we are doing now will fundamentally change completely, but we put a situation where we need to align the way in which we operate. For instance, one of the new thinking is that, which is already being implemented, is that we need to base our support at a district level, whereby we are able to channel whatever resources that we have at a district level to the various ways support is needed. In that way, we believe that we can cover more spaces, we can cover more areas, and we can support more municipalities. Because instead of having a technical expertise sitting with one local municipality, and probably also being underutilized there, you have this resource at a district level, you are able to only to deploy that individual as and when that the support is needed. So we are busy now interpreting with that, of course, where it will be clear is in our annual performance plan for the 2015-16, because we'll have to incorporate it in the approach we're going to follow going forward under the best basics approach. I think that's pretty much covers the presentation on this.
Okay, so thank you very much, and I want to Ted. Presentation Cienzo. What I will cut that thank you. Welcome. I think it's your first time you're attending this meeting, and you provoke us with your emotion. That's why I think you're joining us now. I hope that Menahem didn't cause harm for you in the debate, and that makes it different. Most welcome. Very loyal. Was an active member of this committee and honoring that. Very loyal, permanent member of the committee, but an alternate member at the same time. Because I feel I'm very committed to ensure the shining space. I'm sorry to you all. Now we're welcome. I think now we want to refuse to accept that the good story continues. 3.6 million South Africans have been uplifted from that poverty because of our fiscal policies. That's a good news. The World Bank anyway, I'm not saying that, the World Bank is saying that in their report. It's 3.6 million South Africans taken out of abject poverty within 10 years. Good story to tell. I don't think anyone can dispute that. It's not written by us, by the West Bank. It's not my friend, but the British in this thing, I think I'm quoting them today. But, we are right. Most welcome. Most welcome. Honorable Carter, I know that the member that used to come was on the Professor Kubisa. But of course, the general director of the NFP is very busy. Very busy after he began to come to attend this important meeting. I hope that Honorable Carter, we are not just here for today, but we are here permanently. And parents, assuming that if you have time, your number one priority would be this committee. And it would be a good idea. But all this, let me touch on it. I saw your hand, you wanted to, before we go to the real discussion about Minister.
Yes. I just wanted to find out if we're opening, if we're reopening the debate, because we can always start on the full bank. And also, Chair, just, I'm just here as an alternate member. I'm not part of the committee full time, but
yeah,
it's something that we're hoping to sort out.
Yeah, I invite her to be full time.
Thank you.
Otherwise, we'll not be sure. We motion, but the full time here is still the pace of having so many issues on the local government level. Please, I know that today the presentation was very long. 5 minutes of your time is before this. Take 5 minutes. Take just 5 minutes. A little bit, have some water. Parliament is not as poor as you think. Take a solution. The secretary always give us water. I'm not sure what is this water anyway, I'm just eating. Whether it helps or not, I'm just eating. And that's it. Sumaranana, you're doing your work. Must be tired. 1.5 hours listening is the name of parliament who said this. Madam, welcome. No, it's fine. I know that we're committed members.
The challenge is a couple of times to go to sit in the last part of the book and then I add what we add part of this and part of this book in my own way. And I report.
No, I didn't care. No, it's just
not.
It was more than 5 years.
Ouch. It's cheaper than
it. It's a good thing to tell. I don't know.
come back.
They are all at the cabinet committees. Yes, all of them. But the minister had hoped that if he finishes telling him to continue the country, if Indian men were an indication that he would also check. Thank you.
Will you watch? Yeah, or will anything?
Thank you.
definition there, rent or is it sufficient to sort recommendation to government for strict government and also for others in the 50%. Is there a time, a timeline, a time frame when this issue is going to be sorted out? The second question, Chairperson, is related on the question of the Thomas Agreement that are increasing. Even medium-sized prosperities, just a sense of how this issue is being looked at. I've said this committee before, and I wanted to just repeat that, that the way planning is being done, a lot of intervention relates to building planning capacity. The way planning is being addressed is not really a member. It's that the assumption is that people who get trained are going to work in already established and functional municipalities, or once again, using the word, are informalized human settlements. Now, that's the problem because if we continue as if there are no challenges that are facing the country, and ignore the issue of these places, of these spaces, then we fail to respond to the challenges that face the country to today. Then there's also a mention of the Suez village, in the case that there is a prescribed by Kudos, that was in Mosalit. Now, as far as I know, many of the places there don't actually have sanitation. There's a place where I know relatively well, called Langorge, the Firehead, to keep in touch with the Firehead. Langorge is a small little twisted town. Very small place. So, no sanitation there. Now, when you say you intervene to address the sanitation problem, I just want to know where. I don't know if probably just anywhere, but I know this place where there's no sanitation. Yeah. That's when you can explain. And there's something mentioned about the Rembrandt district. I just thought to explain what kind of work is being done there. I couldn't follow. I tried to add to this reason, but I'm just looking at the facts as they stated. Then there's something I saw on television, because it was in the last few days, of a place which has been called the Wall. There's a river that flows in the area, flows over the university. These kids who are swimming every day to school and from school. And there's a beach there that was promised by the provincial government. So they use that. Now, I know that there are many dire situations. But I just thought that I should just raise this and say, in what way can corporate leverage other than funding other resources to address an emergency of this kind, especially because the provincial government is certainly a commitment.
Thank you.
relation to what is happening there in the Lembe municipality. The village is it's called Mapung. And I think the river is a Tugela something river thing. In that situation, I think we'll need a report to say what intervention in relation to this. And can make to intervene in that situation because the children are dying there. And it's very painful when it's heavily raining in that area that you see children swimming trying to go to school. Even if they die, they have a commitment that they are going to pass through the swim and they are going to go to school. And I think that's that situation. It has been there for quite some time. It needs an immediate, it's immediate attention. If you want information, we have that kind of information. The second question. In your page 9, under technical resources province, you are saying that you have supported close to 122 municipalities. But my question in relation to that, the capacity of the municipalities you have supported, or the numbers that you have supported, has it made an impact to the broader problem? In particular, rural municipalities are confronted with in relation to project managers and technical engineers. Or it's just a chip or a small contribution that we've made. Because if you look broadly to the challenges, the infrastructural challenges and technical support that we need in the country, you see a bigger problem. But this kind of intervention, does it really make a sizable contribution or impact in terms of addressing the challenges we're confronted with? The third question, you spoke about a low degree of absorption, absorbing, municipalities not absorbing the people trained. Now, this part of your interest is to make sure that you leave the skill in municipalities. What then are you putting in place besides the political the issues you have mentioned about political instabilities in municipalities? But what then are we putting in place to make sure that we enforce municipalities, so we have municipalities utilizing this opportunity of investment that we are doing? Because your contribution might not be permanent, but as long as these municipalities do not have these kids left in municipalities, they continue to have this problem. Because your intervention is going to come and go in some instances. But what tangible intervention have you made in some of these municipalities you have given support to say that you can't continue not absorbing the skills that we come with in these municipalities? The last one. What makes this in your page? Your page 19, you say part of the challenges in the institution is that we have a high level of recognition of top management, people in top management. What makes these people really from top management level to resign in a manner in which we have explained? Are there other reasons that you have not mentioned that make people just leave the institution like that at a senior level?
Okay. I would love to have some questions or maybe some practical strategies in terms of the presentation. Like for instance, whether municipalities being offered this assistance as per their request, or is it an assistance that you can maybe see whether this municipality does this, does need whatever assistance that is offered by MISA. And another thing, if maybe the municipality sometimes, or are they going there as maybe as intervening to problem that are there in municipalities? I've seen that, like in Mpumalanga municipalities, someone has mentioned in the support that you are giving, you've also mentioned the issue of violence. I'm raising this because I know that maybe if your presentation would have given us, in terms of those municipalities, when have you started working with, where are you now, in terms of the results that maybe are there at this point in time, in order for us to be able to see that there is indeed in progress. If maybe you found in a certain municipality that it was at that level in terms of whatever area, making an example maybe with titles, it was at that lower level, now it has gone up, maybe they have corrected whatever, you see. So if there's no indication, we can't see whether there is a progress, because we need to give ideas. These are the municipalities in province A. We started with this municipality, the municipality was at this level, and now we do see that the assistance clearly is enabling the municipality to fly alone without our assistance. Like I said, because you can see that many municipalities, as we're speaking, are still struggling with the issue of asylum. Some do not have bylaws that are supposed to be speaking to the time that you're at, that are relevant to the time that you're at. Like you find that there is a town within a municipality that is not guided by current laws. Like for instance, one municipality, you find that a particular area will be, if maybe the municipality is to enforce some laws, it will be difficult. It's only national laws that will be applicable to that area, but it's in one municipality. So such things, you know, also the end. It's difficult. Another thing is per the graduates. From which areas are these graduates? From which areas are these graduates? The number we have seen. I think if the presentation could also maybe assist us with that, I think.
Thank you. A couple of questions. First of all, let me appreciate the work that is being done by MISA. I think we can all agree that its objectives are admirable. I do have some concerns. One of the issues that is raised is that there have been a number of resignations over the past couple of months, and I'd like to find out what are the reasons for those resignations. Secondly, on page 9, slide number 17, where you have the number of engineers and project managers and the number of planners. My question is this. Has an assessment been done of the shortfall in municipalities? In other words, where are people needed? Where are particular skill sets needed? The reason I ask is, I'm going to speak from personal experience. I come from East London, Buffalo City. And Buffalo City have, I think, at last count, 2 registered engineers on a payroll of 5,000 people. But one is a traffic engineer, and the other is an electrical engineer. Now, these are people that are expected to sign off on roads, on stormwater, on sanitation, all sorts of things for which they're not qualified. So my question is, have you aligned the skills that are required to the shortfalls in the various municipalities? And similarly, on your slide 28, the one about artisan development and learnership sub-program, and I was particularly pleased to see the water process and toilets that you've identified there. Again, have you aligned this to the problem municipalities, the areas that are having difficulties in terms of blue and green crop reports, where they stay in their assessments. So that would be something that I would be looking for. The last question is, your monitoring and evaluation appears to be internally focused rather than externally focused. And I'm wondering if there's some way of linking in with the work that's being done in departments at a border level to bring their monitoring and evaluation. The minister spoke last time he was here about a real-time dashboard of issues and projects and so on going on at various municipalities. Is there some way of linking to that so that there's not a duplication of effort, and so that you are assimilating that data and bringing it on board in your analysis and strategic planning? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I must say that the presentation was good. I think it was covering almost most part of the issues that they wanted to know about NISA itself. But I've got a dilemma, Chair. I'm a little bit disappointed because some of the issues that we were going to raise here with NISA needed the attention of those who are able to take decisions. And I'm not sure whether we've got those who are able to take decisions about what we are going to raise, about the issues that have been presented here. We do accept the apology, Chair, and we know that the Minister and the Deputy Ministers are busy. But we don't have anybody from the department at the senior level. We don't have a Director General. We don't have a Deputy Director General. Where NISA is located, where NISA is reporting in the department, because NISA is still within the department. We've received an apology of the acting CEO. But the senior official that we have is the executive manager. So I'm not sure whether we have got the right kind of people who will be able to take decisions, because this is one entity or one agency that there's been issues around raised by the Auditor General. The Minister himself is concerned about the operation of NISA. We ourselves are concerned because this is one instrument that is supposed to help us to address the expenditure in the department. The biggest other expenditure in the department in the last financial year was around the lack of spending by municipalities of the municipal infrastructure grant. And it was also on the CWP, but the Director General has assured us on the model that they are going to implement to make sure that they do implement on the CWP program. But the municipal infrastructure grant continues to be a problem. I mean, there is a lot of money that was not spent by the department. And we've got an entity that is supposed to help us to make sure that the municipality spends, to make sure that the project management units that exist in the municipalities are capacitated, to make sure that the municipalities are assisted to manage this implementation of the municipal infrastructure plan in the municipalities. So that is my difficulty, Chair, that I'm having. Probably we might have to have another session where we will have the DG or the GDG, most preferably the DG, because this is one entity that has not really since its establishment, has not really functioned at an optimal capacity. From the establishment of the entity on 11th of May 2012, through that proclamation by President, we have not had a substantive CEO in the entity. There is a, in terms of your proposed structure, you're supposed to have 3 DDGs and 1 chief director, I think. You don't have those individuals. And we are here now at the end of 2014. What we have is an indication that the minister is away, and of course we are aware that the minister has raised this matter with him. But we need some kind of a timeline check to say, look, we think that in order to make sure that we stabilize this entity or this agency, we need to appoint a substantive CEO and the top management at least by the first quarter or before the end of June or something like that. And we don't, from where I'm sitting, I don't think that the officials present yet they can give such commitment. Because for this entity to be able to operate, we need to stabilize especially the senior echelon of the entity. Of course, there are things that still need to be done about its mandate, how it does things, but first of all, we need to stabilize the institution first. For instance, Chair, I'm concerned about the contracted incapacity. And I'm not sure whether we'll be able to get the relevant answer, because these are decisions that are beyond those who are here. We've got 110 consultants on page 6, slide number 12. And this is against how many positions that are filled? 27. Is it 27? So you've got 27 full-time employed officials in the agency. And then you've got 110 consultants who have been reported incapacity, contracted, in sources, so to speak. First of all, these 110 people are not your full-time employees. So at any time they might leave, depending on the financial arrangements with the department. And what will then happen to those programs that we're busy with. So we still have issues there. But then the question is, that arises out of this, is what is the financial arrangement? Because these people are consultants, according to what you said. And look, generally there has been a view in government shared by many of us that we need to we can't do away with the use of consultants. That we will never do, because we need some kind of expertise which may not be available with the government structure. We will still continue to use consultants, but at this rate, if this really be the case, shouldn't we just advertise and fill these positions because they are there? They were recommended and they are part of the approved structure, and there's a budget that has been allocated for them. Why do we have to use 110 people consultants? Can it really be the way to go? And the question that I was going to ask and that I would want to get an answer is, at what cost? At what cost are we getting this incapacity? Can we get the cost and the details of the involvement of the consultant? And the duration, for how long I'm going to have this consultant? I know that you can't say, especially meet are those who are here. You won't be able to say that we are going to Excellency on next March or next June, because these are matters that are beyond you. That's why, Chair, I'm going to recommend that we need another session with those who are able to take decisions, because this is a very important entity of government. Now, the model of support, generally, which I think we need to have some kind of a debate, you know, that the minister has committed himself that he's going to look at the entity in its totality to make sure that it doesn't operate outside of the department, it's part of the department channel, with an agency within the department. But one of the issues that has always developed in infrastructure development is the capacity that exists at the local government level. There's no capacity. So instead of saying we assist municipalities to do this, can't we identify those municipalities, because I'm sure that they are many, where MISA can be capacitated to an extent of making sure that those municipalities which are not able to implement infrastructure projects, MISA comes in, does the hoping on behalf of the municipality. Of course, taking those identified projects from the IDP of the municipality and those that have been part of the budget of the municipality, does the scoping, do the design, go out on tender, appoint on behalf of that municipality, and manage the project on behalf of those municipalities who don't have capacity. That is the extent to which I see MISA playing a role in assisting municipalities. Because you can send the technical people there to help here and there. But the issue that we have raised in some instances about governance issues, if there are problems there, committees are seized, nothing happens, at the end of the day those municipalities don't spend, and at the end of the day the department will be sitting with money that has not been spent. So those are some of the strategic issues which I think that we need to raise with those who are able to take decisions. And of course I have other issues, but look, I think it's better that we have the session so that we can help this agency to be able to do what it's supposed to do.
Thank you.
Chairperson, as my thought also, as Jane, my colleague, expressed, I think it's report from MISA. Chapter 9 is not a question, it can be a comment to MISA. Chapter 10, my comment is on the issue of consultant that MISA has, and then also on the primary goal that's true that there is on page 3, that MISA supports and is supposed to conduct effective and MISA supports to achieve certain messages without any. And my main reason that is that MISA, based on this support and also on this other consultants that they have, that municipalities now, these bodies are also failing to implement 100% of new funds, even the other consultants. I don't know if they can improve on that side when they are the municipalities, when they are making things. That's why I said a comment on anyone that MISA must come with the way that they can assist municipalities, maybe making master plan, water master plan for the municipalities, because we have a challenge of water in our areas. Chairperson, based on that also, there's a shortage of water in the area like Madwin and the area next to Murafil, with Madwin Murafil, but we have a club. That's for them there, that can assist that villages. If MISA can assist the two, that two municipalities by establishing a bulk support thing that can support that two areas, it will be fine. also asking my to also participate in two instances to meet one another in making other plans that can also fit in under facilities. That is why there is not a question, it's just committed to me so that if they can see when in the next budget, if they can see assisting on that. Also, because of the people that are trained by the MISA, they must get a way involving these communities to absorb them in their structures, because some of them are not absorbed by these communities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, James. Now, just out of experience, I've found in the past that most of your consultancy would actually be spent on things like your bylaws and putting in policies, supply chain management policies, etc. And that's where the money usually goes to consultants, except for when the one, when you started with job description, that was another one that took 2-3 years of spending money on consultants. Now, there are so many skilled people out of it, outside, okay, that has been in local government for years, that has got experience. But because of political employment, those people are now not employed in municipalities, but they are actually going out and go back into a municipality as a consultant at a much higher rate. Now, my question is, if we look at the vacancy rate, which, I mean, and I've got to apologize for running late. I actually attended two other committees before this, okay? But just if we look at the office overhead, 75% vacancy rate, 72% vacancy rate on the infrastructure planning, 89% on infrastructure delivery, 97.5% on operations and maintenance, 87% on corporate services. You cannot expect MISA to function. You cannot expect MISA to be successful if those jobs are not full. I really want to also say there are skilled people out there that instead of giving them a consultancy of a couple of R100 an hour, rather make those people a proposal and offer them the job full time, or put them on a 2-year contract or 1-year contract, or, you know, something down those lines. And the fact of the matter is, as you're standing here now, the South African Institute of Civil Engineers has come, that 1/3 of municipalities do not have civil engineers, but don't have technologists or technicians. Also, if you look at what the Municipal Finance Officers Institute, they've also said that 1/3 of all employees are not skilled for the job. They do not have the right skills. This is the opportunity here to be the change. Really, the opportunity is here. And I really want to, this is more a plea, to say, let us not make the same mistakes of what is happening in municipalities. That is where the problem is where we have political employment. This has got to be clear, and it's got to be the best person for the job in order to solve our problem. Just for interest sake, I've had a look at the list of municipalities, and I didn't see Bombola here, okay? But just to give an example, there's a new beast that is picking up its head. They get new funding, for example, in terms of Pounds Act. They have to now get the pounds and those type of things implemented. What do? They spend the money on other things. Then what they do is they bring consultants in to do the job, but they do not follow the job of the supply chain management. So they work against the PSMA. Then they just don't pay the supplier or go for a contractor. The contractor makes them support, the contractor doesn't have a leg to stand on because the PMA wasn't followed. So, you know, this is all these little things where they the more you try and block the corruption that is going on in local government, there might be a loophole. For example, who's the one losing out now? It's actually the consultant. So the consultant is no longer gaining, or the contractor is no longer gaining from a municipality, it's actually costing them. Those are also issues that we need to look at, because that's the new beast on the block now lately. I've been covered on this, I've been covered on that. Yeah, no, I'm covered. Thank you, Chair.
There's a problem that I wish to raise.
I'm sure this was an information you would get China or something before, but let's say that doesn't make sense. Not China, I don't know what you're saying. What does this thing of criticizing government that in the issues of political deployment? No, the problem is, you know, this political deployment. My problem is political deployment. We don't have engineers, this political deployment. Children are swimming across the river, whatever it may be, as a political issue. My question is political deployment. This kind of thing doesn't assist the processes. Well, some of the things we do is to engage the issues generally, so that people in the department can know the issues and then follow them up. That's something that I don't understand. That's pretty important. Let's get a bit more technical.
So many hands. Well, I think we will have some question about what that is going on before we can share that. And let us go for a little bit of the CIA of the head of the comment somewhere.
Chairperson, thank you so much. To the members, Chairperson, we are very honest in presenting what NISA is and what it's doing currently. And we note the many questions because these are real issues that we are faced with at NISA. All the issues that have been except that one, Chairperson. Chairperson, perhaps in the introduction I did not emphasize who is here. Mr. Matara is an executive manager as well. And the two of my colleagues on my left, they are acting executive managers for the NISA. It's myself and Mr. Matara that are permanent. We were transferred from DCOP to NISA after the establishment of NISA. And currently, as you saw the structure, the top level of NISA, as it stands, is made up of the executive managers that are reporting to the acting CEO. And in terms of the establishment of NISA, the acting head or acting CEO reports directly to the minister. Therefore, whatever at the executive level is discussed is actually discussed with the acting CEO and is taken to the level of the executive authority, that is the minister. So we are at a level of decision making currently as NISA stands in terms of the current structure. Obviously, working towards the integration, because that's the approach that the minister is taking, the integration of NISA with the department. And that's the process we are in that transition. And whenever in a transition, obviously, there will be challenges that you go through. Some of them halting some of the employment which we are faced with in terms of covering the gaps that you have seen in terms of the posts that are vacant, the posts that are abandoned, but are not filled in. I'm sure my colleague that deals with human capacity will actually elaborate on those issues. And also to highlight to the members that the post of the acting CEO was at one stage at the time that everything was done, but then there was a change of political leadership, and that stalled the employee appointment. The same applies to the DDGs. They were advertised at a certain time, and then it was stalled in terms of the appointment. So these are challenges that indeed, Chairperson, they are beyond our control as employees, because they sit with the executive authority at a particular time. But coming straight to some of the issues, my colleagues will assist in answering most of the questions. I will take the easier one. I think the issue of Agulhas, as you indicated, That area is a specific area which was a mining town at a particular stage during the septic tanks. And it was vacated when the mine closed down. And that is it. Yes, the Tokwe. Tobani. Tobani, as you call it, but it is not a village name. We went through the exercise and appointed a consultant to look at it. Because it was a stinky area as we walked through that area. It was quite stinking and it was really a hazard. Therefore, there is a process that is being followed now to assist those communities. Because there are people that are in there. There is even a school in the particular area. It's quite a shocking area. Therefore, the minister is then has deployed the resources and is supporting them to deal with the issues of sanitation, particularly plastic tanks in that particular area. The second one on each of the informal settlements is a challenge in all towns, particularly major cities and towns. But that area is residing within DCOA currently. They have developed a document which is being consulted on integrated urban planning. It is being consulted at the moment. I'm sure it will be finalized probably before the end of the financial year. And then there will be implementation thereof, and ISA will come in with the resources when it comes to the implementation of that, because it's trying to deal with the issues of informal settlement and further development of towns and cities, because there's no proper regulation of that at the moment. As you may know, that the towns are really failing to manage that issue of the urbanization, particularly when it comes to the informal settlements. The Pongola area, I wouldn't say I know the issue at the moment, but we know the issue. Fortunately, myself and Mr. Dube, tomorrow we are going to KZN. There is a task team, the minister has formed a task team throughout the provinces. We are sitting with the provinces. So we are in the task team of KZN. That's one issue that we'll be raising, because it includes all other sectors in the province. The particular issue that includes one of Mapumulo near Ilembe, which also talks to the Utuela River, that will raise those issues in the particular task team. Because our mandate is to go and raise issues, take those issues up, see how they can be intervened, whether it's a provincial or national department, depending on mandate at a particular level. The low degree of absorption, it is a legal issue. We do train some of the skills, and the intention is to deploy them in municipalities. But the challenges that we have seen are that municipalities do not have absorption and retention policies.
Can we just say in relation to the report of the data that immediately after that election, they must provide the secretary with the report, because something that I expected is to monitor. But yeah, through the secretary.
Certainly do that. The low absorption level, the challenge is municipalities don't have retention and absorption policies. That's why we are supporting municipalities to develop. And remember, municipalities will operate within their own environment, and even if you give support, then there has to be a process of appointments that needs to be followed. But if municipalities have developed the absorption and retention policies, then it becomes easier for municipalities to absorb the resources that you have actually supplied or supported them with, without following the normal process of recruitment and employment. But what we are doing is providing another aid. The challenge was when we actually took over from the CSM Manager project, there was no SLA that was committing a municipality that after a particular period, where 3 years of support that you are giving, then they will absorb whatever support that is given. But what we have done now, as MISA, is to develop an SLA that has to be signed between MISA and that particular municipality that receives the support. Then when that support, for example, you train apprentices for 3 years, after 3 years then, in your program, you create the provisions so that you can absorb them. And then our responsibility as MISA is then to monitor that process towards the end of the 3 years when they have to absorb that particular support they are giving to municipalities. So we will see that after 3 years, we are almost 2 years now,
from 2012, and then in 3 years' time, then we will see if municipalities are able to absorb the support that we are giving, because they do need that support. Not that they don't need that, but it may be financially they are not able to absorb the support at the particular time.
The high level of resignation, my colleague was here with that one, and the issue of the impact.
The graduates, they come from the area of a municipality. When we get a request for a support on a particular program or sub-program, like the young graduates, then we advertise together with the municipality within that district, so that the learners that are taking over, or young graduates, are coming from that specific programming area of district. The skill set, and whether we do have a study that indicates the needs, as indicated in terms of what is happening in Babalu City. Last year we have, from the beginning of the financial year, we developed a proposal for a sector-wide lateral study to determine the level of skills that are there in municipalities, so that we locate our support in terms of the tangible figures or indications that are coming from municipalities. That process is now sitting at a level where we need to be appointing a service provider to do that, because at the entire moment we rely mostly on studies that are done by demarcation boards, by number of leads, by knowledge, which is a book that indicates the number of civil engineers in local government and other built environment professionals that are there as a baseline. We don't have really any scientific information other than that on our own. So the intention was that we develop our own study that we can use to deploy or to place the support in municipalities responding exactly to the needs that are there on the ground. Honorable Mapula Chair, I think he raised the issue that I concerned with us. And I may not even attempt to respond to those issues. Mapula, thank you, Chair, for correction. It is a challenge, but again, it resonates in a level that is, as you correctly said, beyond us as the executive managers. At times, those are issues that can be responded to by our executive authority. But we must indicate that as MISA, we were audited for the first time, and we got unqualified. But we were still concerned about the audit of our performance in college as a new entity. As much as we got a very good audit in terms of financial management, with spending pattern, but on the issue of the performance information, that is where we were found short. Because of the challenge of support, the nature of the support that we are giving to municipalities. But all these is in terms of the cross-border plans, we are working on them. We are having an audit committee to report back to on Friday this week, it's on the 14th, on the audit plan and how we intend actually dealing with those issues that were raised in the audit. There are two areas. One I've mentioned, the integrated planning. The other one is the MIT, because it has been raised quite often in this meeting. The MIT is not solely responsible for the MIT expenditure. Within DCOP, there is a unit established in a branch that is responsible for MIT expenditure and MIT management. MIT is coming in with the technical support on the ground in the municipality, but the ensuring that MIG is being spent and managed, it is the responsibility of that unit within ECOC rather than that of MISA. I'm trying to explain that we're not running away from the issue, but it is an issue because we are part of the local government. It is a concern to all of us. And so the issue of the number of consultants was responded by Human Capital. And the issue that we are almost speaking to the issue that was raised by Honorable Mabulan, on the view that we have on how MISA can actually be hands-on in support, how Mr. Dube will deal with that one. The issue of absorption has been responded to.
Chair, with your permission, can allow my colleagues to respond to some of the issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and other members. Perhaps at this point in time, I wanted to start by going back to the beginning. And my start will be phrased in particular manner that on the 11th of May 2015, MISA will be in Ingre. And within that space of time, MISA will have been through to three executive authorities already. And that is the nature of the element that one is dealing with, which comes with the uncertainties that results in I would say despondence, but I'm not responding to the questions of why the resignations, why people are moving on. So any change comes with its challenges, and especially if there is no permanently syndicated as we are mostly using the consultants, and therefore people look for opportunities elsewhere. And that is currently the situation that one is operating under. So that is one point. And now when this was established or even developed in terms of the disabilities, because I want to look at the two issues. There was an ocean analysis in terms of what will be the right institutional model for MISA. And it starts from a fresh within a department as being the part of the department or the unit of the department, or the government component, which is the middle road in terms of giving this component some leeway in terms of being able to respond immediately to challenges that is designed or it is established to deal with, as well as the public entity, which is to the far extreme. Now, the challenges with then establishing with the, in terms of the Public Service Act, then talk directly to the delegations of human resources in terms of where they reside, as well as some that are delegated. And that's why in an environment where there is a number of changes at that level, therefore, it results in the stalling of the processes that necessary. So one needs to explain that, I'm trying to say that whatever the delays are, it's because of the MISA where it was located or where it was established and resulted changes at that level. Now, there was a question in terms of past cost in terms of the consultants. We fully subscribe to the cost containment measures as approved by Parliament, as well as the guidelines that were subsequently issued by the former Minister of Finance. In terms of engaging the consultants within the public service or within the DSA rate for consultants, we make sure that we adhere to those to comply, because our biggest issue is the cost of changes. The point that one is making is even though there are challenges, our business work must still continue. And that's why we had to find mechanisms to make sure that we continue, and not say because certain things are not finalized, therefore we are crippled to do what that is expected of us. Okay. I think that's the message that one wants to assure the honourable members in terms of the approach that MISA has taken. So I've dealt with the issue of cost. Now the issue of the timelines, we have wanted or would have liked to say these are the timelines, but I've already indicated that the HR delegations in terms of the Public Service Act resides elsewhere until they are delegated. Now the delegation therefore goes to the accounting officer at that point in time. And also within the COC or COCTA, if one may put it this way, the delegations that, or in fact, in particular, it means that the delegations that talks to recruitment from a post from level 13 upwards, they are assigned to the executive officer. And then below level 13, then they're delegated to the accounting officer. So I'm trying to conceptualize the place and also being able to say that this is how we work around it. Now, on the issue of what Minister was established to do, as it was correctly pointed out, whether it's Minister, for an example, assisting, let's say, with the issues, I think there was one point that was raised, if the municipalities have no way of getting the capacity, whether Minister can't it be expected to actually assume the risk of the entire infrastructure in the verification chain, okay, because that's where the comment was coming from. I think it might be helpful also to share the founding document of the study, if it has not yet been shared, where it is maybe sent to the members, so that it can also assist further. But I just want to pick up one aspect of it, where the green study developed at the time talks about the direct delivery for MISAN in anticipation of such situations. And to that extent, what MISA has been doing, for example, I want to quote a few projects. MISA is appointed as the implementing agent for the Package Application Program in the whole of Northern Kingdom. And that appointment is from the Human Settlement, Department of Human Settlement, as well as the Provincial Coxer. I think some of the members may have been visiting the province when all the work of MISA in that respect was available. The other appointment is with regards to the Amazole district, where again MISA is implementing agent with together with BBSA in terms of the particular application program. The issue of Abakulusi has been highlighted as well as the Takani already, so I'm not going to repeat it. What one is highlighting here, one is highlighting the positioning of MISA in response to the questions that are being asked of the acceptance of MISA to actually be able to play that role of being an implementing agent for the municipalities that either out of the lack of capacity will never able to be able to deliver those projects, or if they so choose, they request that MISA do this on their behalf. So that is part of also of the thinking with the MISA. However, one must highlight the transition as well as moving around the best of basis, because whatever the MISA does needs to talk to the best of basis. So unfortunately at this point, there is that, I would say, it's a discussion of ideas or debate for a better word to use. Hopefully, ultimately, there will be a one common understanding of what really is should be doing. So that will welcome that next session where these messages are explored further. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I also just want to add a couple of explanations to the questions that were raised. A lot of them have been covered by my two colleagues. But I think there's a need to also then just give, there was a question around the Vembe district. I think it was Honorable Masombo was asking what exactly is going on in Vembe. In that district, Honorable Masolo, what we've done as MISA is that we have identified that there was a need of supporting the district around the water provision of quality of water in that district, and we then contracted what we call agents to actually go and deploy in that district to support the municipality so that they can operate and maintain their water treatment plants. Basically, we have about 57 agents that are directly was for me in that district, providing that for over a period of 3 years. I also want to touch on the issue of where the municipalities are being offered this support via request or identification, I think what we do is that we have got a hybrid model in terms of how we provide our support. We have those that we have identified through various processes like LGTAD, the Back to Basics, which is a new one now, and the cabinet directive, where we then get these municipalities need to be supported. However, we also have those that come direct to us and say we request your support in this meeting. So it's in a way it's a sort of a hybrid approach that we take, but mostly largely so we are informed by the auditors and the assessments that we do on our own. There was, I think, an indication around monitoring and evaluation that at the moment MISA is internally focused. Yes, we acknowledge that. However, we are in the process of actually beefing out that unit so that it begins to also do external evaluation. As we speak, the colleagues, why he didn't, the executive manager who's heading that unit, why he didn't come here, he's sitting in Pembe doing external evaluation of that program that we talked about. So to some extent, we are beginning and we realize that there's a need to actually do that external evaluation that was requested. And we are saying from then, when we learn the lessons from that assessment, we will then be rolling out to the other provinces where we need to be doing this support or providing that monitoring and evaluation. There was a question around the model support, the lack of capacity in municipalities. I think it was Honorable Mapulana, the lack of capacity in municipalities. And that's the way I think Mr. Julia is just with that. That we do have some projects where we are actually doing direct, we call it direct intervention or direct delivery model. As much as we spoke about the usage of consultants to provide support, there is where MISA does take over the functions of actually doing the implementation of the project. As indicated in the Northern Cape Pocket Eradication Program. I thought I must also then add and clarify something around, as in closer chapter, around the issue of these 110 consultants. I think MISA needs to say to some extent that these consultants are not, in the true sense, consultants as we know them, that you get a company that has its own resources and comes and does work for MISA. About 70 of these, that year, they are what we call individual consultants. They have a direct contract with MISA, and you come in as an individual. Meaning, you are working for MISA on an 8-hour basis a day, and your work is over a period of time, over, say, 2 to 3 years, where you work full-time for MISA. It's not that you've got other work that you go and do elsewhere. So in a way, Honorable Carter, the issue we're raising to say, why can't MISA, if you can't employ them full-time, why can't you look at the option of either having a 3 to 4 year contract? It's exactly that. That's what we're doing. The colleagues have talked about the reason why we had to look at those options, but I think it's important to then truly say it's not consulting as in the form of consulting. To some extent, I can actually say it's more or less a permanent contract. All you lack is the permanency in that true sense. I want to leave with the chairperson. I think we needed to add on those two comments. Thank you.
No comment. I think that was a very good presentation. And the myself includes now and then the agenda is very long. Very long agenda. And two, we are going to the house. I'm not sure that there's a debate by Mara. Mara, what do you put in the house today? And we should allow the team today to conclude now. For us, we have some time also to discuss our issues.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We honestly would like to thank the member, honorable members for the questions that were raised, because they are very incisive and they touch on issues that we struggle with. And I hope, Chair, we have been very honest in responding to these issues.
And Chairperson, would like to thank you particularly for giving us the opportunity and allowing us to present a very long presentation of 38 slides. We couldn't condense it further, but we think it was relevant that the members get the background to the establishment of NISA, what NISA is doing, what model of approach that we have, and then finally where we are in terms of the highlight of the project that we're doing. And we reached that the areas that we identified and then we need to report back to this committee or feed to this committee. We will certainly do that through the Secretariat. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We'll take some of the points that we just started, the minister, the point that you have raised with us, we'll have a discussion on that. I think it was a very fruitful presentation, very detailed. Address some of the issues that so honorable cut so happy today. Very difficult to make her happy. I'm not sure what it will do. She's the happiest person now because Comrade Masondo was discussing the deployment issue. Okay, that is true. And but cut, I can tell you, cut that it becomes a government that needs to do the model deploy. There will be cadet deployment there. Because they are confusing cadet deployment and people are not deployed by anyone but who are employed. And then if there is no water out from all of cadet deployment ground, there is no water in cadet deployment. And then when there is water in Johannesburg, it is not cadet deployment. And it is a bit of problem, you know. I'm not sure which country doesn't deploy their water.
I think the issue that Honorable Mapulan raised in relation to the institution's problem, it's very important that maybe sometime we would need to call them back again with the executive being part of that the meeting, because there are many issues that really they don't have control over, and which they also confirmed here, that at least if we have ministers coming, it will be better. And like I said, we're not confused of what it is that preventing. If you take somebody in Marana who does not have qualification in relation to financial management, with a standard name, that's given to the department.
I think that's a problem now, because right now we are from the ANC. Originality. You are from the ANC. You know very well that we are distorting the policy document of the ANC around deployment of terrorists. But this thing is done purposely, because when you write a document, back then, in TE 2002, General Kandem, we were there, and we knew very well that the policy on deployment of terrorists is so thorough and correct. But because you are distorting it, you make it a really a very bad thing. But you know very well that the clean policy, is a correct policy, there's nothing wrong with the policy. Mm-hmm. Only those who want to apply it wrongly under influence and therefore come and criticize the move. It's very important that we do that because we may really live wrongly that we deploy the wrong people. There's no decision we've taken. In fact, all of us here in this parliament are deployed. And yourself, you are applied or you are deployed?
Chair of point order?
No. There's no
point
of order.
I have to make a point of order. I'm asking for a point of order, Chair.
It's not in the House.
Chair, we're under the rules of parliament.
Then DC will see. But the point colleagues is that we should debate this matter separately from a portfolio committee meeting. And I was just taken to now because I was part of those who were moving for the cancer deployment policy. No. We are sort of a discussion about this issue. And it was raised by you. I'm saying let us have a discussion about it.
You know, it's actually quite disappointing. We've got NISA sitting here, okay, and we're having this discussion. Why didn't we stick to it from the beginning, and that is what we wanted to do? First, So under that I would say it's actually bad chairmanship there. But secondly, what I want to say is, let us go. You can't be distorting the information. Now, there is a difference between, when I get passionate, I stand up. Okay. There's a difference between having an administration and the political part. So, and this I really wanted to clarify after Pierre has made your point. Okay. And the bottom line is, we see it every day. It is not about and all political parties do it. I want to take you, for example, to, I'm going to take you to Mandela Municipality. Okay? Members of the IFC, yeah. That was, the mayor there was a man with the name of Sam Dwani. Brilliant. Okay? Municipality ran properly. Good run municipality. What happened? Go back to the election site. IFC came in. They put in a music professor. Okay? With no experience at 10 times the salary. It happens everywhere. You look for examples. Look at our department. When we brought in all the directors,
I would like to have this discussion now or later.
Well, that's it.
All I'm saying is that we'll have a discussion as a committee on these matters. But not now. I was reminding only Ngaba, not Ikhaya. Ngaba present because of the move of the committee.
You started it. And you started it with my name.
If you're going to say let's delay the debate, then you've got to start a discussion. That was our point of order. If you're going to say we're going to have a meeting and we're going to discuss harder deployment, let's have a meeting and we discuss nothing but harder deployment. Don't then have your 5-minute discussion and rant and rave about what you think harder deployment is and what other people's opinions are, and then shut down the debate. Because that's not good chairmanship. And Honourable Carter is 100% correct on this. It is poor chairmanship, Chair.
Chair, my hand was up, and unfortunately it looks like people who speak are those who just jump to the right. Like in a house.
No.
Like choosing the chair of the bench and then... No. Look, I don't think we should be personal about this and not at the inner chair. There was an issue which was raised about care deployment. The chair was simply saying that we are going to discuss it, but he was making reference to the issue. Of course, he's got that right. He's the chairperson of the committee. So, when he says that we're going to discuss it, there will be Honorable Carter, if you can just listen. This is the first meeting of this committee. And I don't know why you come to a conclusion that it's bad chairpersonship, because you have not been exposed to the style of chairpersonship that we have here. So, Chair, I think let's postpone the discussion. We are going to discuss this thing at the time when the chairperson has decided that we're going to discuss it. But I just want to say, Chair, that in your concluding remarks, probably we need to refer to, because this thing of killer deployment is just hijacking a good discussion that we are having inside here. And I was going to propose that in our closing, because I think I see that we are moving towards closure, that probably if it's agreed to, we can then also summarize on the issue of a formal discussion, so that we can be able to get a response of the issue of cost, which we have read. It has been responded to, but I think it was just a very strong response. It's not really a detailed response about the cost of the insourcing or the incapacity. So that we can understand this cost vis-a-vis the benefit of having to employ people full time. So that cost analysis is the stuff that we get from NISA. And also the timeline check that we need to get from for the appointment, especially of the high expert.
No, that's fine, my plan. Let us move on, and we are really thanking the leaders from NISA for greeting us. I think they've greeted us very well, and I think we are happy. We'll have time again, it'll be next year really. We'll have time next year to engage on some of the issues that we have raised. there are very exciting issues. I think a lot of development and a lot of progress has been made. We'll have a great discussion on this, and I would say, well, we have missed the reading for here, very exciting. And I think we are not sure which now, but we missed that ahead of before. We can address some of the issues in our next meeting. The meeting is supposed to be part of the meeting. I think we are aware that the minister said that at the end of the meeting, it is going to join us here. But I think it's appreciative of what you are trying to do. And thank you very much for everything that helps us. We'll absolutely come back to it so that I can have a discussion through the next year, not this year. Okay, I thank you very much for it.
Some of the areas can be considered.
basically what is related to. But we mustn't raise this problem as a petition, because these things are not very short ones. And we don't want also members to drive at night. And in general, the principal members may not drive at night. And that's the point that we want to do. 25 to 28. It's almost a short visit really, so to speak. You're not going to deal with the extensive oversight function that you have to do. So hopefully next day we'll have a week summer for a little bit of detail oversight function to other provinces that are not covered right now. As we really decided to look at the provinces that were not visited by the chief from 2009-2014. That we don't want to go to provinces that have visited themselves, they don't have to do that because the visit must cover other provinces that are not visited. That was the first thing that we considered. But also we considered the ruralness of some of the provinces. And that there are rural provinces with a lot of challenges. I think it has assisted us to address some of the challenges. And those are issues that we have raised. And short visit. Wednesday, and I will be back until next year. That's what we wanted to raise. I think my time will take a few dollars to really can't cover all the places that you are citing. Halapwena, even there, will depend entirely on what will be the objective of the visit and what the issue. I'm saying that they're going to decide on that. That the resident issue doesn't mean that it's accepted. It just means that it's raised. Other members can reject it. But we have raised an issue that is very important. We are going to look at it. The management committee must apply its mind. But also you are said, you know that management, all committees, they have management committees. All of them. Management committees. Will always be there with the chairperson, one member, and then it's enough. There's no one from COP at the moment. There was one from COP last time. The same one is part of the management committee. And there's Professor and Professor Kubisa. Well, we love their position. We love PA so much. That's why we have a PA. Okay, that's the point that you are saying. The management committee will look at this letter. You also look at what are the areas that you can improvise to ensure that you move on that. That we must prepare ourselves very soon. We must tell the members how many members are going, and then prepare themselves for while. I think the management committee must finalize it today. And we know exactly who is going when. The area that I always prefer is when you start to invite the chief. Others go to another area, others go to another area. We'll consider that next year. Because we can't exhaust all the oversight functions everywhere. Far better if we have a team that goes there, another team goes somewhere. And then they compile the problem as the session. Okay, the management committee will look at this. And we'll have discussion in future conferences and see what we take of the local government challenges as far as they have to visit. And we can address some of these issues there. On the
18th. Yes. Sorry, Chef. I think Chef, as a matter of procedure, quality procedure, at least you and myself have been here experienced. Now, once there is a management committee, really issues such as this oversight, we can't just say the management committee is going to go and sit and decide. What we could have done in a formal manner, a member of the committee has submitted a letter. That letter could have been right. And then consider that as a committee. But we can do it the other way around, that the management committee goes and sits. Do you understand? And comes back to us. Because we can't just be called by secretariat, you are going this other side. We must understand as a committee, define the objective of where we want to go and the reasons as a committee and adopt it. Because in a normal situation, we should have had even all what we want to do in a program of the committee. But in this case, because we started so late, we're just making provisions. That's what I'm saying. Let the management committee go Next week when we meet, we consider also coming there and then what we are presenting. That some democracy should apply. And it's very incorrect that even if I just know today that there's a management committee. We were supposed to be told officially that these are the members of the management committee, these are people who constitute, these are the responsibility of that. I'm saying we must not take things so informed sometimes. They are very dangerous. That's why I'm raising my views in relation to this for future purposes. Thank you.
Okay. Management committees have been in parliament since 1997. I'm saying that is not a mistake. The management committee is 1997 in parliament. The point I think that you are raising that you didn't know that by the member that is the current. Okay. And then we are going to look at the proposal here. The management committee will deal with it and will advise accordingly. Next week, members will be told how many members are called. Because there are always limitations for this and that. In terms of the presentation and the government. Okay. Let us move on. Okay. PNC meeting on the 8th, please. Municipality Demarcation Board. They are coming to brief us. Detailed briefing started at 9 in the morning. They meet the last meeting of the committee at 3 officials started at 9. That will give us some sufficient time for discussion from the issues. Now that they've moved on, so by 10 for the first time. But I agree on that. Okay. Let us move on then. Allow the colleagues now to see what we can do. We'll come back to the team and then we'll notify you. Can we agree that the phone meeting is not a matter? The meeting is adjourned. Cut.
I will check. I just think that it is important for this committee. Now, I don't know if there was any comments maybe done before the meeting started or the beginning of the meeting, but the sad loss of life in Howick on Thursday, whilst we were having our debate, I think that as portfolio committee of COSCA, we really need to stand together and even possibly have a joint statement on how we see this. For those members that do not know, a councillor was busy putting up posters on the street pole. He was electrocuted and killed by a municipal cop. And I really, it is very, very sad, and I just think that, you know, the good committee should be aware of that.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your contribution, and thank you for your kind of deployment.
I'm going to move a motion this afternoon, please.
On what?
To the front for a great
toilet. All right.
Oh, wait.